to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. And I have two special guests for you today. First of all, Robin Martinez out there in Colorado. Hi, Robin. How are you doing?
Great, Joyce, and I'm excited about today's show. It looks really good.
Great. I am too. Thanks very much. And we also have from Boston, the head of the CAMTEC Technology Program. Like to welcome Dr. Chris Olson. Hi, Dr. Olson.
Great. Thanks for having me, Joyce.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So there's a new kind of a program that I hadn't heard of before until I saw your advertisement here. It's called a hackathon. And I was looking out on the website, and it looks like it's not a brand new idea. It's been out there for a couple of years, and there are different kinds of hackathons going on around the world. So what is a hackathon, and why is Mass General Hospital helping to sponsor one?
Yeah, so if I back up and just say what our mission from CAMTEC is, I think it might make a lot more sense why we've engaged so much in the hackathons. So CAMTEC is the Consortium for Affordable Medical Technology, and it's organizationally sits within Mass General Hospital, but is really a consortium of people in different countries and, importantly, across disciplines to try to accelerate medical technology innovation and, build entrepreneurial capacity to improve health outcomes in low and middle income countries. One thing that hackathons that really intrigued us, so we've been doing these for almost 3.5 years as CAMTEC was founded. We spoke to an organization at MIT called MIT Hacking Medicine, who had started about 6 months earlier, and we said we'd like to use this as a venue to work with people from different geographies and different disciplines to come up with novel solutions. If you'd like, I can kind of describe how these work, because they have been around for several years, and it's argued whether Silicon Valley or MIT came up with them, but a hackathon is really a word that's an amalgam of hack, which means coming up with a solution with what you have in the time you have, and then on is really, you know, to designate its time bound, and it's a marathon. Originally done for software development, and what we've done is work on doing these for affordable medical technologies.
Right, I saw that there was one in India to talk about how to handle diabetes, because diabetes is becoming a major problem in India. So, and that there, the software talent is profuse and inexpensive, so it makes good sense to do something like that in India. So,
right, and so that was actually our fifth hackathon in India, and one that was driven by people we were working with there that said, "Oh, we just really need this because it's a problem that we face every day." And I have to say, it was so exciting to have it, because the energy in the room from the start of the event and the events that we have preceding a hackathon until after was so palpable, because there was almost no one in the room that they themselves did not have diabetes, or they didn't have a close family member with diabetes. And in many ways, they call Hyderabad, the city that we held it in, as the global capital of diabetes because of the increasing prevalence there.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So
well, you know, one thing that interests me in all this is, with the rise of smart cell phones being available, this technology can be then carried out into the far hinterlands of practically everywhere.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And it's just technology like a cell phone that leapfrogs some of the legacy infrastructures that we have here in the United States, such as there was this whole period of time of the necessity of telephone wires, and in sub-Saharan Africa and many parts of other parts of low- and middle-income countries, they've been able to leapfrog that stage and move right to cell phone infrastructure. One interesting thing that we've found from running these 12 hackathons so far with, you know, and that includes well over 2,000 innovators, is that 65% of the innovations that were coming out of hackathons were not software only. So a lot of them were hardware, where people would actually build over the course of a weekend a prototype that was really something physical that you could see, touch, and feel. And these were principally technologies that are preventive, diagnostic, or therapeutic in nature.
Right, and I'm interested in it not only for the developing world, which of course has major issues in identifying and treating cancer, but there are third world countries inside of the United States too. And there are resource limited areas in the U.S. that could certainly benefit from the same kinds of innovations, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that's what's so exciting about it. I work half of my time as a clinician here at Mass General Hospital as what's called a core educator faculty in the Department of Medicine. And then I work what I like to say the other 100% of my time with Camtech. And I'm seeing the challenges that people are bringing up designated for low and middle income countries so often have applicability in the U.S. and not only necessarily in low resource settings around the U.S. but also just in the notion of creating higher value healthcare, where there's this idea that really the way we should be delivering health is by turning hospitals inside out and helping more people receive healthcare in their homes or in communities when they don't absolutely have to be in hospitals. And I think there's a lot of arguments to be made for that. If I could just describe what happens at a hackathon, I think it would give maybe your listeners a little bit of an idea of why it's so exciting to us.
Super, that'd be great.
Great. So this is a time-bound event, and people apply to attend the hackathons, and what we do is really curate those applications to be a nice mixture of clinicians, patients whenever possible, engineers, designers, as well as business people. And then they come in. We usually have a social event on the Friday evening to sort of get people mingling and maybe a few brief talks just to rouse people about the theme of the hackathon. And then the next morning there's a few theme talks, people really talking about what the key issues are and the challenges. And then there's this whole period of time where people that have been mulling over these problems, they themselves have faced these problems, can stand up and they pitch an idea. They really pitch what their pain point is. And once it gets going, you just see these people stand up and say their problem. And they have to do it within 60 seconds. And at the end of 60 seconds, people clap them off the stage or the front of the room. And it's not for any other reason that we don't have time for people to go into the detail then. So people really pitch these challenges. And then after that, there's this whole period of mingling. And people that are really drawn to certain challenges will go to the person that pitched them. And then they start, you know, just brainstorming, trying out ideas, seeing if they get along. And I really call this the period of serendipity, where people meet around similar challenges, but often from really different skill sets. And then once they decide that, geez, I think we're a good team. We're all driven by this challenge. We want to work on it. Then they'll start brainstorming ideas, and we encourage people to be really bold. It's a place where failure is encouraged. So you think of ideas outside the box. and people will take many stabs at an idea that could potentially help the pain point that was raised in the challenge. And they'll start honing in on an idea and start working on it. Many times that idea isn't the right one, right? Many of these problems have been worked on for years, and how might you expect somebody to get a solution in 48 hours? But actually what happens is people will frequently pivot. So they'll talk to a lot of mentors, they'll talk to other people in the room, they'll be doing Google searches, they'll go out to the hospital and try to gain access to physicians, and if there's we usually have patients around that will talk to people, and then they'll work. And oftentimes these teams are so motivated, they'll work through the night, usually on a Saturday night. They'll work on putting together prototypes if that's the solution, or they'll work on perhaps doing an application, or sometimes they just work on doing a process innovation. And then they have 3 minutes on Sunday afternoon to really pitch their solution. And it's judged. There's usually small monetary awards. And again, people are clapped off the stage. And I have to say, this mixture of controlled chaos where people come together across disciplines, something really magical happens over those 2 days. Whereas, sure, many of the things probably wouldn't move forward. But what we've found is every single hackathon, something really that hadn't been thought of before comes forth. And we've just learned that out of our first 12 hackathons, there was 22 patents filed, there were 15 new companies formed, and 25% of all the potential projects that move forward or potential projects from hackathons actually move forward to a trial stage, with about 7% of those moving into actual patient trials. So I think it's a really rich area of innovation and really gives people this confidence to move forward with challenges themselves, because as we found is not any single individual seems to have all the answers, but when you work with somebody from a different discipline who looks at it in a different way, really incredible things come up.
That's an amazing track record. So can
it
you
really
share
is.
With us just one or two of the ideas, just to give us a notion of what's happening?
Yeah, I'll bring up one that I work on just because I know it so well and I'm so excited. And I'll give it an example as one that came out of the first hackathon, and it's one called the solution is called AIR, or the Augmented Infant Resuscitator. And at that hackathon, I had a colleague of mine who actually heads Camtech Uganda. Or Camtech in Uganda was here for this inaugural hackathon, and he was watching people pitch these challenges, and he said, you know, really, I can pitch anything? And he stood up and said, look, I'm a national trainer for this program called Helping Babies Breathe, and I train these birth attendants to resuscitate newborn babies. But when I go and really assess their skills after a month or two, I really realize that they're not ventilating correctly, and I was wondering if there's a technology that could help with this. This was an aha moment for me, because I worked with Dr. Santorino even before this, but I didn't realize that he was as interested in newborn resuscitation overseas as I was. And more so, there was a mechanical engineer named Kevin Cedroni, who was finishing his PhD at MIT at the time, and he just came to this event because he said, I really wanted just to do something that was meaningful for the weekend and see if there's some way I could use my talents. So he gravitated to Dada Santorino and said, you know, I work on automotive engines all the time and I study gas flows. I think we could come up with something for this. And really, by the end of the weekend, an electrical engineer joined us. I joined that team with Dada and Kevin. And by the end of the weekend, we had a working prototype that just fits into existing bag valve masks. and shows the user if they have one of the three major problems with ventilating a newborn baby or not, and it really helps guide them. Now, we've gone through three or four iterations of that device and have trialed it in Uganda. And what was really fascinating about the AIR device is I was talking about it here in Mass General Hospital to my colleagues, and I gave a presentation on it, and people were like, why are you only doing that for sub-Saharan Africa? We really need that for resuscitations here in the United States, and there's great evidence that people's skills drop off within months of being trained, whereas recertification takes every 2 years. So that was a technology that never would have come to fruition without that venue of a hackathon. Now, I'll give another example from that same hackathon just because it's had the longest runway period. But it was one that was, so the theme of that hackathon was low resource settings in the U.S. And abroad. But one issue that somebody stood up and pitched was, like, so many elderly people are taking so many medications that it's hard to keep track of, and wouldn't it be nice if we had a way of essentially filling their pill boxes for them and with people with low vision and perhaps poor understanding of this multiple drug regimen, which I myself said, boy, you know, it's hard enough for me to take all the pills I have if I just have to take a course of antibiotics, let alone a lifetime of too many medications. And a company called PillPack was formed, and that company is U.S.-based but is now active in over 40 states and has 200 employees. Again, they said that they would never have come together as a company without the hackathon.
Yes, my mother lives in a home for elderly people. She's 98, and there are a number of her friends who could benefit from that.
Yeah, I think it's a really fantastic mix of a process and a technology where they fill these pill packs, and then when somebody goes to their doctor and changes their medications, the person just puts it back in an envelope. It goes back to the company, and then they mail them out the new prescription all lined out with, you know, symbols for the time of day to take it. And I find it really fantastic. I have so many patients that would benefit from something like that.
That's brilliant. So tell us what you're envisioning in terms of cancer.
So, yeah, we're really excited about using the hackathon or health hackathon model for cancer. And particularly, so for this event, Camtech is partnering with the MGH Cancer Center as well as Global Oncology Initiatives or the GO Initiative. And part of the reason behind that is that many of us will view cancer as a disease of affluence, you know, a disease of elderly that happens in wealthier nations or developed countries. And it actually turns out that 70% of cancer deaths are happening in low and middle income countries. And a lot of those are presenting at later stage, when it's even harder to treat them, and they're happening in an environment where the infrastructure to treat those cancers is just so much more difficult. And so we're really excited to bring together a number of patients. We have a seminar that brings the voice of the patient to the room on the morning of, and talks about the challenges people face in developing worlds receiving care, or in the developing world receiving care. We have people that have treated cancer from Latin America, from Africa, as well as India coming to the event. And we have a whole host of really motivated designers and engineers all coming to the same room. And the one thing I can absolutely say is completely uncertain what kind of innovations people will come up with to address the pain points that are raised for people trying to receive care, to diagnose cancers earlier, to prevent cancer, to educate the public about potentially early signs of cancer. But I can say that I am very confident that some really exciting things will come out of it.
That's fabulous. Go ahead, Rob.
One term that you've been using that I find interesting, and I think I understand it, is pain point. And I think that this is probably a term that could extend into many, many fields. Could you explain that to us a little bit?
Yeah, I think that it's really essential. And what we've learned from these first 12 hackathons is that the problem that really is addressed by somebody that is either receiving care, is providing care, is paying for care, those problems or that problem are really what we term our true north. So many people can take many swings at the bat in terms of trying to solve that problem and hopefully hit a home run that does solve it. But unless you get the voice of the patient in there, the voice of a frontline healthcare provider that's saying, look, that is the problem that I face every day, that you could make care so much better if you solve it not only for me but other providers like me. That is the most valuable thing that we find come out of hackathons.
Interesting.
And so what you said is a really good point, is I think that the notion of a pain point comes not from healthcare, but from other technology developments, is people think about developing technology that addresses pain points. And if it really does address pain points, then it's more likely to be used. And so it's something that we're really trying to catch healthcare up with, and or catch up in healthcare. It's been said that doctors in many cases are Luddites in white coats. So, you know, people that are really resistant to technological change. And these are one of the venues that really enables people to get out of this mindset of making just slow iterative change to making truly transformative change. And what we've seen is that people participating in these events feel more enthused about their own work when they're back doing that work, whether it's engineering work, design work, being an entrepreneur, and particularly clinicians. And I'll say from my own experience is I'm involved in these events, and I can mention the other things that Camtech's doing to really help after the hackathons to make things really have a patient impact. But after being involved in these, I go back to the hospital and I'm enthused. Partly because it's less this feeling of being downtrodden with all the problems that you see in the healthcare system, and all of a sudden shifting your mindset to looking at the problem, what you used to call problems, and saying these are challenges that I can bring up at the next hackathon, and now I have a venue in which to address them with a ready source of people that are maybe able to answer the questions. What I often find is the problems or the challenges that one group feels are the real challenge aren't really the challenge by another group. Like, you know, as a physician, I might see something and say, oh boy, that would be really hard to solve. Whereas an engineer would say, wow, that's your problem? That's not a hard problem. I thought it was that you couldn't do X clinically. And so I think that's one of the most exciting things, is just getting the crosstalk happening between different disciplines.
Yes,
right.
That's amazing.
And somebody says, wouldn't it be great if we could? And someone else says, you can.
Absolutely. And those are some of the aha moments that you see take place over the weekend.
So I understand you're fully booked already, and so we're not looking for additional people to attend this, but I'm very excited to hear what's going to come out of it. So how do people keep up with all the fun stuff that's happening at this event?
Yeah, there's a couple ways to do that. We have a website. There's a few different ways. You can follow some of the innovations in real time on Twitter. The hashtag for this event will be hashtag Global Cancer Hack. We also have a website which is MGH, so for Mass General Hospital, it's www.mghcgh.org/Camtech. And on there is a lot of information about the cancer hackathon. And then also importantly, which I can provide to you for your website, is the links to the Camtech Accelerator platform, as well as the Camtech Innovator platform. And both of those are part of the venues that what we realize is you never really have a solution at the end of 48 hours. In fact, the journey doesn't end at the end of a hackathon. It's just starting. And so what we do is through Camtech try to help with small amounts of funding in the form of innovation awards. We get people to join the Camtech Accelerator Program or the Camtech Innovation Platform so that they can interact with other innovators and from different disciplines. We do run some entrepreneur boot camps afterwards because it's one of the big things we find is that clinicians, whether they're nurses or midwives or frontline birth attendants or engineers or designers are often really unaware and don't have the training about how to move something from an idea to a product that actually impacts lives. So we really work on trying to bring in people that help coach and bring these ideas forward.
Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Robin, do you have other questions you want to ask Dr. Olson?
No, I think we're about ready.
Great. So thank you Dr. Olson. Go ahead.
Robin and George, thanks so much for taking an interest, and we look forward to some of your listeners joining our platform and following our website. I think the larger the community, the better.
Great. So we really appreciate your time and wish you great luck with your exciting hackathon that's coming up at the end of the month, February 27 and 28 in Boston. And we will watch on Twitter for some really cool ideas coming forward. So thanks very much for being with us. And thank you, Robin, as always. And thanks, everybody, for being with us today. We hope you'll join us again next week. And meanwhile, be well and be a powerful patient. Take good care.
Hungry? What do you guys got on this 2-for-5 deal?
How about Burger King's new extra long fish sandwich? Tender flaky fish with a light crispy breading? Just 2 for $5.
Extra long, but still 2 for $5.
Yep, or you could mix and match with other great sandwiches, like our new extra long buttery cheeseburger. It's all part of Burger King's 2-for-$5 deal.
That's perfect.
So perfect, I'm doing a dance back here.
The new extra long fish sandwich, now part of the 2-for-$5 deal, only at Burger King. Limited time only, price of participation vary.